Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by Universal Furniture. They're in the midst of their annual dining room event, which means up to 15% off dining room furniture and a chance to win $5,000 worth of new stuff for your dining room or your breakfast area. You can enter to win at universalfurniture.com/YHL now through November 12th.
I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're sharing what went down before last week's big exterior painting extravaganza, plus the story of how our Instagram account almost sort of got hacked, and a charming chat with one of our youngest listeners. By the time you hear this episode, it is very likely that our entire brick house is painted a glorious shade of white. But at the time of recording this, the house is not even a little bit white yet.
Nope.
Except for our test swatches, because they're doing prep and setting up and getting ready to start. But we have no experience to share about the house being painted white yet.
Yes. I feel like people might have tuned in this Monday expecting to hear the whole backstory on it. So we just wanted to say up front, there's no backstory and behind the scenes of how the painting went down, because it hasn't really gone down yet.
Oh, it's about to go down. And next week, we will share so many details. But this week, we thought we'd talk a little bit about something that snuck up on us and that we didn't necessarily expect to feel during such an exciting week.
Well, you know, Sherry's emotion ramping up to this painting has been just like unbridled excitement.
I mean, like, can't sleep. Like, wake up in the middle of the night and count hours and days until it happens and think about, oh, I should put the pots on the porch away to get ready. And, oh, I should cut the bushes back so they look good after it's painted and I can get a good after picture. Like, my mind has been whirring.
Yes, but see, that's the problem, is most of this has all been in our mind. And as this week arrived, we realize like that one, I feel like we're not prepared enough for it, both like mentally and also physically for it.
Oh, I'm mentally prepared for it.
I meant mentally because I think we forgot the fact that there's going to be a big crew here all week working on the house. And it's been probably 2 years since we've had a big crew in our house. Probably when we did our kitchen was the last time we had a lot of work going on in our actual house.
Like, right.
Since then, all the work and renovation has been happening at the beach house and the duplex, which we don't live in full time. So we kind of have some separation from the madness and chaos of that.
Right. We get to go home and sleep in our clean beds and not worry about it. And the thing about exterior updates is that going into this and moving towards this earlier, I never thought, oh, we'll have a crew at our house because they're going to be outside and I'm going to be inside. And That's different.
If I don't have a clean bed to sleep in, something is going very wrong with this process.
Right. But I think as it approached, we realized like, oh gosh, there's lots of stuff we need to do beforehand. Like we have a weird gutter hanging off the back of our house that used to be there to protect a deck. We took the deck off. There's no need for this old gutter that doesn't even work properly. So it's things like that where we wake up and I'm like, oh, we need to take the gutter off the house. And like, oh, we need to move this stuff out of the way of the painters. And John is feeling a little bit
stressed.
Yeah, he's anxious.
Well, and the thing that I think is probably stressing me out the most about it, to be honest, is I'm worried about the can of worms that this is going to open up in terms of other exterior projects. There aren't a lot, but I would say, for instance, everyone knows we demoed the porch and the porch has not been reconstructed. So at the end of this, we're picturing this big after, but I think it's still going to be a during to some extent because there's going to be unfinished projects. Like I was looking at it this morning, I was like, we probably should put fresh mulch down because like the mulch beds look kind of like, you know, worn and stuff. It's the end of the season. They're covered in acorns and, you know, they need to be weeded and stuff. So it's like other things that need to be done to make it look like that pretty after that we have been picturing this whole time.
But I think that's good for anyone listening who thinks when you watch TV, the after is just like three easy steps. It's usually 700 steps behind the scenes. So that's why I think we like to talk about this stuff, because it's like, oh yeah, before they came, we had to do all this prep to get it ready for them. And oh yeah, after they leave, there's still a lot to do. And I love how you intro'd this by saying, well, there's not a lot to do, but there's a few things. But in my head, there's a lot, because it's like reconstruct the porch and add new columns. It's new mulch, like you were saying, and trimming some bushes and dealing with some landscaping stuff that I think will be highlighted once the house is white, because there's a big contrast between the green bushes and a white house.
Right. That's, I think, what I'm trying to get to, is I feel like the new freshly painted house is going to highlight some of the things that aren't new and fresh.
Right. Well, we want to get a back staircase added to our back porch for Burger to enter the yard in a different way. So that's been on our list forever that we haven't done. We want to do a back patio, which is just crushed rock for now. That's still on the list. And so I love that you said it's not a lot of things because I feel like it's a ton of things.
No, I said it was not a lot of things as prep beforehand.
Oh, yeah. After, it's a whole bunch.
Yeah. Like, so it's going to like add a bunch of things to our to-do list. And so that's sort of putting a small cloud over the excitement of this happening to me.
To me, no cloud. Sunny skies. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I know it's going to make me impatient. That's what I'm acknowledging. I will not be upset that we haven't redone the portico or done the mulch beds or, oh, by the way, all of our grass is dead because we had a crabgrass problem when we dealt with the crabgrass problem, but our entire yard was crabgrass. So now our entire yard is brown, but I'm fine with it. It's just going to make me, I think once the house is white, it's going to make me feel like the clock is ticking to fix the rest of it so I can finally get to that beautiful thing I'm picturing in my head.
But you're not going to get your green grass till like April.
I know.
So I feel...
Spray paint.
Photoshop.
I've seen the golf clubs do the spray paint. You guys have all seen it at the golf course. They just spray the grass bright green.
I think I'm just preparing myself that the after photos, when compared to the before photos that we took in the summertime, you know, when it was nice and everything was green and growing, aren't going to look like the afters I pictured.
Oh, you're worried that people will say it was better before?
I don't know, maybe.
Nope.
I'm worried I'm going to think that.
No, I'm not worried about that. I think it will just light a fire under us and we'll be like, dang it, why didn't we redo the portico earlier? But the truth is, we've been renovating a duplex. And before that, we were renovating a beach house. Like, we haven't been sitting on our laurels. Resting on our laurels? Sitting on our haunches? Hunches? Haunches?
Resting on our laurels, I think.
The haunches might not be a thing.
We haven't been kneeling on our laurels.
So it's like you can be mad at yourself and you can be frustrated that things are coming together slowly. But I think it's just very average and normal. And I think it's normal for couples to have different reactions. Like, for me to be much more on the excited, hyper end of things. And for John to be on the anxious, nervous end of things.
I will take all the worries, like a worry doll in this relationship.
Soak it up, baby. Yeah.
And you know what? Like you said at the start, by the time this episode goes up, we probably will even have a picture to put in the show notes of it finished.
Maybe multiples, like before and after of the front, before and after of the back. And I know everyone listening wants so many details. That's going to be covered in the next podcast and in a post. So don't worry. There will be details online. There will be details in your ear. Details everywhere. Because this is like one of the most exciting transformations I think our house can have. And the neighbors are excited. My bus stop buddies are excited. My friends are excited. I even contacted someone to buy something on Facebook Marketplace. And when she saw my name, she said, I'm so anxiously awaiting your house being painted. I live in your neighborhood.
Well, and since anxiety has been a theme so far in this episode, I feel like we should tell a scary story.
It's like a spooky, ominous story.
Yeah, I know Halloween is over by the time you guys are hearing this. It has not happened yet for us. So in honor of Halloween, the continued spirit of Halloween, we have a very, very scary story that will chill you to your core. It's about Instagram.
It's about Instagram and it's very scary.
You know, it's a popular trope for scary stories is Instagram. No, but have you guys heard about all this Instagram hacking that's going on? I think the first one I saw was our friend Jenny Comenda. She's from Little Green Notebook and she also runs Jenny's Print Shop, which is like an online art print shop. And her Jenny's Print Shop account got hacked into. And so what it meant was someone got in there, changed her password and username. She could not get into it. And they started, I don't remember in her case if they actually deleted stuff.
It went blank. There was no profile picture. There were no followers. There was no content. Like all the little boxes she spent so much time writing and uploading were gone. It's like someone deleting your blog.
Right. And I saw it happen again to another person I follow. Actually, someone I dug on this podcast a while ago, KM Salvage Design, who does those like intricate like found object art pieces. Her account, same thing. Someone got in, they deleted all of her content, changed the username. I was still following her, so I got to see this from the outside, but she couldn't communicate to me from the inside, I guess, at all. She eventually got it back. Jenny got hers back and both look like they recovered all of this content. And best we can tell, a lot of it happens the same way that any sort of account can get hacked, where you get an email that is posing as an official email from Instagram and the link inside is actually a bad link. And if you click on it, allows someone to see your password and get into your account.
Right. And I actually had heard from someone who was another blogger. I think she was a fashion blogger and hers got hacked and was never recovered. And the way they did it is they posted as a sponsor and they said, we'd love to be an Instagram sponsor. Check out the work we've done here and here. And those links were real. And they sent her to other campaigns for this like totally legit clothing brand. And then they said, just download this to see more examples. So the two links that she followed were legit. Oh. And then she downloaded that thing. And that's how they took her entire account.
Oh my gosh. Scary stuff. See? And I know for you guys out there who don't use Instagram or just use it casually, like this probably is not registering But for us who really rely on it and have put a lot of time into our account, it is really frightening to think that it could be taken away at any point. I think in Jenny's case, they actually asked her ransom and she paid it.
Yeah, she paid in Bitcoin, you guys. So she had to get like American money transferred over online. It took 48 hours or something to buy Bitcoin to then give them the Bitcoin. And guess what? They did not give it back.
If someone wants Bitcoin from me, I'll just be like, keep the account. Because like Bitcoin is too millennial of a thing for me to figure out. Like I have no idea how to even start to get Bitcoin.
Like you lost me at Bitcoin.
Exactly. But anyways, Jenny got her account back, like we said. And we were looking at how we could better protect our account because they were targeting business accounts, people with large amount of followers. And they said kind of the things they always recommend in these cases is like update your password, you know, make sure that you're not using a password that you use on other accounts. And also Instagram allows for two-factor authentication. So that thing where like you get a text sent to your phone, so only the owner of that phone can log into the account.
Right, like you use your password and then on top of that, they text you a number and you use that number and only then can you get in. So right. It's double protected.
So Sherry and I are like, let's do the prudent thing and let's do these things. Let's update our password and let's turn on the two-factor authentication.
So the first thing I did was I turned on two-factor authentication. And that seemed to go well, right? I got a text, I started doing whatever. And then I think as I was doing that in settings, it said you might also want to reset your password. And I clicked like okay or something. Then it said we're going to email you a way to reset it. And it was all within the Instagram interface. I didn't ever leave Instagram. I wasn't receiving a weird email from someone. I was all doing this in Instagram. And so then without much thought, I went over to my email where I got that message about like, here's where you reset your password. And I'm like, okay. And I clicked it and it said, we can't find that account. Like my face went white. I felt like, why is it saying I can't find your account? Like it said, Young House Love doesn't exist. And I was like, oh no, it's gone. John, it's all gone.
Well, and like we try to do in situations like this, I knew Sherry was freaking out. So I was like, I have to be the rock. So I was like, let me be rational. I was like, okay, Sherry, I'm just going to try my phone. It's probably a glitch just on your end. I tried on my phone, same thing.
Like we couldn't even do the thing like lost your password, please email it to me or do the two-factor authentication because it was literally saying Young House Love is not an account.
Yes. And so I finally checked from the outside, like not logged into Instagram, and I saw that Young House Love was there. All of our pictures were there. All of our Insta stories were there. Like from the outside, nothing had changed.
But we were locked out of it. And that's when I realized how you can feel like you are locked out of your own house. Like I couldn't respond to comments. I couldn't look at Insta story DMs. I couldn't notify anyone. Like the funny thing is that when we got locked out, my first instinct was like, oh, I should do an Insta story and tell everyone we're locked out of Instagram.
Right.
Right? Like how insane is that? Because yeah. You can't.
Well, it has become such a primary avenue for lots of people, bloggers and otherwise, to communicate to their audience. Like we have a Twitter account, we have a Facebook account, like we have an email newsletter, but for the most part, Instagram is still like the biggest pocket. And so we realized how reliant we are on Instagram in that moment. And so I, again, trying to be rational, was like, okay, let's walk through this. Let's figure out what happened. Like we went down to the computers in the office and I looked at the email Sherry had gotten with the link because my mind is like, it probably was a bad email somehow with one of those nefarious links in it. And I noticed on the bottom of the email, the address came from One Hacker Way. I'm like, Sherry, did you really click on a link from an email that literally has hacker in the footnote of it?
And I was like, John, Instagram said check your email and do it there. So I was like listening, but I wasn't reading the footnote that said the address.
I know. Well, and also I then looked it up and One Hacker Way is like the official address of Facebook who owns Instagram. Which I do not appreciate that, Facebook, because in that moment, I was very terrifying.
Terrifying. So what an awful name.
Yes, I highly suggest you change the name of your street that your headquarters are on.
Just anything but hacker.
Yeah, just don't put in the emails.
And also, One sounds very fake. One Hacker right, Way. There. Has there ever been a faker sounding address? Like, I live on ABC Alphabet Street.
Right. Like, one, two, three Alphabet Street,
of
Sherry.
Of course.
So anyways, we were in full panic mode at that moment because I had seen that email. I thought it was a fake email. Once I confirmed it was from official Instagram, I was still at a loss as to what to do because we were getting different messages. On one computer, it was saying account doesn't exist. And then on the other computer, we were able to send some password recovery emails, but the emails weren't coming anymore. So Sherry and I kind of threw our hands up for a little while. We were trying to figure out, could we contact someone at Instagram? I was Googling for news articles, just figuring out how we could get into our account because as dumb as this sounds, it feels like we weren't hacked. Our account just got locked somehow.
Right. We think we like throttled the system or overloaded it to do those two things within a minute of each other.
Yeah, because I can't explain what we did to finally get in, because obviously we are into it now. We've been using it. This was several weeks ago at this point. But I feel like it finally had just been enough time that like whatever we did just relieved itself and it let us in.
Yeah, it took about 45 minutes. And the funny thing is, you know how I said I could feel my blood pressure rise and like I felt my heartbeat in my ears. I could hear the blood pumping. Like a minute into it, I was sobbing. And like 2 minutes into it, I was like, my life is ruined. Like, well,
we feel very silly about our overreaction in retrospect, I think, for the most part. But
totally warranted.
The concerning thing about it all is we are in, but we still don't know what our password is.
Yes. So ready? Guys, this is a proactive step for us. If anyone listening works at Instagram or knows people at Instagram or Facebook because they're run by the same company.
First, tell them to change the name of the street.
Right. HackerWay is not working for us. Second, we are only in on my phone because it's the phone we could get through on, and I can't log out or I'll never get back in. What we think happened is we don't actually have a password. Any password doesn't work.
And we're too nervous to go in and change the password.
Right, because we're afraid we'll get locked out again. So if anyone works at Instagram or knows anyone, take your time because we're logged in on my phone. But like an example would be I can't upgrade my phone or ever like super change my phone or transfer data because I'm afraid I will have to log back into Instagram and I won't be able to because yes. I literally think that weird glitch deleted a password and we just do not have one because we've tried the one we reset it to. We've tried the original one. Nothing
works. We've tried
works.
Basically every password we've ever used in our lives and I cannot log in on my phone.
Yeah. So it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, there's not really a happy ending to this story, guys. Right. I'm kind of getting stressed again.
I know, I am too. And if we ever disappear from Instagram, maybe this is a good proactive step to say, look on Facebook, look on Twitter, look on our blog. That's where we'd put announcements if we were ever locked out and couldn't talk to you on Instagram.
Or just wait for the following week's podcast.
Right. Wait 7 or 8 days to hear us cry.
Right.
And
it would
scream.
Just be screaming and all that stuff. But I know what's going to calm us down, Sherry, and get us off all this talk about like being nervous and stuff. We have a very fun phone call to get into.
Yes, we do. The sweetest person we ever met, a 6-year-old girl who we met at West Elm. Remember we told you guys we were doing a little event at West Elm. They were opening in our city and we went and we met the mayor and we love the mayor, but it paled in comparison to meeting this little 6-year-old girl who marched up to me and said, I'm wearing all black because you wear all black. And oh, are those shoes you're wearing the ones you talk about on the podcast? Like she had that special something. You know how some kids just have it with capital IT? She had it.
Well, and so we talked to her and her family. She was not there alone.
Right. She did sashay up as if she owned the place. That's but she true. Did have her brother, her mom, and her dad with her.
Yes, and they all listened to the podcast. And so we posted this photo of Sherry and her together on Instagram in their matching black outfits. Several people said, we must hear from her.
Yes, this little 6-year-old named Ellie, they were like, we need to talk to her. And I was like, guys, I've already booked her. Like, I was into it. So we're going to call Ellie and you guys are going to be just as charmed as we are.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Guess what? I have a new sound machine for my bedroom.
That's so awesome. Both our kids love a sound machine.
And mine has white noise, ocean, thunder, summer night, and rain.
That sounds like the same sound machine we have.
Cool. And it's square, too.
Does it have a button that glows green when it's on?
Yes.
That's the same one we have.
Cool.
You know, Ellie, I think you just recorded your first official We're Digging segment.
You're digging your new sound machine.
And I also got a rose gold leopard print sleep mask.
Wow.
Except we had to throw away the earplugs that came with it because they weren't right for my tiny ears.
That makes total sense. Well, is your mom there with you?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. So first of all, Ellie, do you know why we have you on the podcast?
No.
Well, number one, you were so wonderful when we met you and you were so charming and so funny that we wanted to talk to you. And number two, when I shared that picture of us with our matching shoes on, everyone said, who's that girl? She's got cooler shoes than you. She should be on the podcast. Do you really listen to our podcast?
Yes.
Every word?
Yes.
I mean, you knew about my shoes.
But sometimes I fall asleep on it.
That's understandable. Sometimes I fall asleep when John talks too.
Hey, Well, who do you listen to our podcast with? Just by yourself in your room, or do you listen with your family?
Mommy and David.
Who's David?
My brother!
I remember David. We met David.
Aye, aye, aye.
So do you like decorating?
I like decorating too. We already have light up pumpkins. I think I would like Mommy to go take a picture of them now.
Ooh, take a picture and put them in the show notes.
Okay.
Good idea, right?
But you can take the picture after the phone call.
Yeah, you don't have to do it right now.
Okay. Hey, John.
Yes.
Did you see the laughing, crying faces I sent?
Yes, on Skype, I did. That did feel like a very Ellie emoji. Ellie, are there other things about decorating you follow? Like, do you like watching HGTV or do you read decorating magazines? I'm curious, like, how deep your interest goes.
Well, I do read American Girl magazines.
I mean, they have rooms.
There is furniture in that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to any other podcasts besides ours? I was curious if we're the only podcast or if you listen to a lot of them.
This is the only one I can listen to because the other ones Mommy and Daddy have aren't appropriate for kids.
Whoa.
That makes sense.
Donna. That's okay. We have some of those at our home too. They're too boring for kids for the most part. But let's talk about, you said you liked decorating, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get interested in decorating and design?
I don't know.
Just seeing it everywhere in your house?
Well, it's not everywhere. I have a few little decorations in my room, like a pom-pom string attached to my bed and a little streamer thing that I got from the party and I hung it up on the side of my bookshelf.
Oh, that sounds like a clever decision. So you took something from a party and made it sort of a permanent decoration in your room?
Uh-huh. Actually, they were both from the party.
Oh, that's cool. I have a question. What if other kids are listening and you had to give them advice for how to decorate their room? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, don't do double moves and...
Wait, what are double moves? Donna, do you know what double moves are?
I have no idea. I asked her and she just gave me the I don't know pose.
Well, do you have like a certain advice for colors or things that they should put on the wall or on the bed or on the table?
I feel like I would tell them to put either an aquamarine blush quilt on their bed with pillows to match and a bear pillow for the accent pillow or a purple blush one with that same stuff and a bear accent pillow or a pink one like my bed.
I love the bear accent pillow.
Ellie, did you get to pick out a lot of the things in your room?
Well, I got to pick out where I wanted my bed and where I wanted my desk and my new chair.
Oh, so you did a lot of the floor planning, the furniture placement. That's some of the tough stuff. So that's once you have that done, actually, a lot of the other stuff is easier.
And they also got to choose what I wanted on my bed.
Yeah, that's fun. So if mommies and daddies are listening and they want to know what their six-year-old or someone around your age might like to pick, it was really fun for you to pick your bedding.
Yeah, but I would want to paint my walls a better color.
Oh, what color are they now?
Whitish gray, and they have lots of speckles from the girl who used to live in there.
So what color would you make it?
Light magenta.
That's a pretty color.
A bold move. Mom, how do we feel about a light magenta wall?
Yeah, Mommy doesn't know how she feels about a light magenta wall.
You know what we do sometimes is like maybe you could put the magenta on a pillow or on a blanket. You could do the really bright color somewhere else and you still get it in your room, but it doesn't have to be all over the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also think there's some type of rodent in our fireplace or in our wall in the living room because we've heard some scratching and Mommy also heard it thump down.
I have also heard a little scratching. I think it's because they're getting cold.
Mm-hmm. And it's driving our kitty crazy.
Oh, your cat's like, let me at him.
Uh-huh, and soon we're going to get a dog.
What do you want to name the dog?
I want to Jack Russell, and I'm going to name it Sherry.
That would be the best. Then we'll have to hang out again, and you can take a picture of me and your dog and just label it Sherry and Sherry.
Hey, Ellie, have you ever seen pictures of our house?
No.
But you've heard us talk about it on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
What is the favorite part about our house or a project that we've talked about that you remember? Do you have a favorite thing?
Well, I would like to tell you my favorite episode.
Oh, yeah. Tell us your favorite episode.
Drunk House Love Fridge Fight.
Oh, the fridge fight?
Oh, yeah.
A Drunk House Love version. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Maybe we can slow you down and hear how you sound if we make you really slow. Would that be funny?
Yes.
Say a sentence and then we'll slow it down. So just talk normally and then we'll make it sound slow.
Hi, I'm Ellie. I like ballet. Da, 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 da.
Perfect. That's going to sound funny.
If you had to tell some other kids or some of your friends about why they should listen to our podcast, what would you say?
Because there's a new episode and because I'm Drunk House Love on there.
So we really hooked you with Drunk House Love.
Sorry, Mom.
Yes.
Maybe we should find a different name for that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking with us, Ellie. And thank you, Donna, for making this happen.
You're welcome. It was fun.
And I'm also currently waddling with a pillow in between my feet.
That sounds like a perfect way to end this interview. Thank you, Ellie. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
If you guys want to see that picture of Sherry and Ellie in their matching outfits, we'll put that in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. And I guess if Ellie sends us that picture or her mom sends us that picture of the pumpkins on the porch, we can put that in the show notes too.
We all need to see that.
And also I'll put a link to Ellie's favorite episode, the Drunk House Love fight. Which I'm feeling very bad about calling Drunk House Love now.
Maybe we just call Wacky House Love.
Yeah, Loopy House Love.
That's good.
But coming up next, we've got We're Digging. Sherry is digging a new TV show that we're obsessed with. But first, we're going to take a quick break. Remember a few weeks ago, I told you that I was a staunch defender of Thanksgiving growing up. So now that it's just a few weeks away, I'm here to make sure that it gets its due and that you make sure your dining space is worthy of a Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, and even if you're not hosting Thanksgiving this year, our sponsor this week, who's Universal Furniture, is giving you the perfect excuse to up your dining room game.
Yep, and if that name sounds familiar, it's because we're actually working with the makers of Universal Furniture for our own furniture line. And right now, Universal is in the midst of their big dining room event. That means two things. First, anyone can get up to 15% off any dining room furniture. So not just tables and chairs, but think dining room storage, buffets, wine cabinets, you know, basically anything you might find in your dining room.
Yeah, and second, it means Universal's doing a big $5,000 dining room furniture giveaway. So one of our listeners actually won this last year. She got some new dining furniture, including a buffet, and she actually repurposed it into a media cabinet for her living room, and she got her parents a dining table too.
I like, she really stretched there.
Yeah, and they've got tons of options and a bunch of styles, so even if your dining room doesn't need a total makeover, this is a great excuse to grab a new, maybe a bigger table or some more durable chairs for your breakfast nook, whatever you need.
Yeah, so to enter the giveaway, just go to universalfurniture.com/YHL. That giveaway and that 15% off discount are going on now through November 12th. Again, it's at universalfurniture.com/YHL.
So this week, what I'm digging is something that has completely changed my opinion of a certain celebrity. Like, I used to think that they were cringy, and now I want to move in with them and have, like, sleepover parties every night and just be best friends. The celebrity I'm talking about is Carson Kressley, and the show that I am absolutely over the moon about, digging hardcore, is Get a Room. It's on Bravo, which we all know is my very favorite network. And when I saw that Tom Felicia and Carson Kressley were getting a decorating show, I was like, ooh, I love me some Tom Felicia. I love me some Bravo. I could put Carson Kressley a la mode and put him off to the side.
I don't know what you
mean. Oh, no, that's ice cream. A la carte. Let's a la carte Carson Kressley. Don't put ice cream on Carson Kressley. That would be weird. But let's just take it, put him on the side, like a side dish of Carson Kressley. And I'll pass that to the next person who would appreciate Carson.
I want to establish for those who don't remember Carson Kressley and Tom Felicia that they're part of the original Fab Five from Queer Eye.
Right. And I loved Queer Eye. And at the time, I was fine with Carson Kressley. But over the years, he's become like a caricature of a person to me. Like, I don't know. It's not that I hated him or anything dramatic. I just wasn't sure I wanted to watch him on TV. Like, we've all fallen in love with the new cast of Queer Eye. And you know, Karamo has stolen my heart. I know everyone loves Anthony. Karamo is mine.
Well, yeah, I think both iterations of Queer Eye have had their sort of over-the-top character. It was Carson, and now it's, what is his name? Jonathan.
JBN. Yes. Who originally was a little bit much for me in the first episode, and then I came to love him, as everyone does.
Well, you need that person that's a little bit much, like, to give the show some, I guess, spice to it.
Yeah, he's just extra sauce and I love him. But he's saucy.
I think inevitably you might warm up to that person, you love that person, and then they become a little bit tiresome over time. I think that happens a lot of times when you get too much of a good thing, we'll say.
Right. Like, is he really like that, or is that just his catchphrase that he says and then everyone laughs? And
right. So when we saw this show coming, which is a decorating show on Bravo, which they don't have a lot of, so it's kind of a new thing for them, we were very curious to check it out because I guess the setup of it is that Tom Felicia, who is like the master decorator, was going to come in and help make over spaces. And Carson, who is like the fashion style guy, like not a home style person, but, you know, wardrobe. Right.
Bodies, not rooms.
Yeah, he was going to be like the learning apprentice. And so it was going to be fun to watch him kind of stumble in the home decorating atmosphere.
Right. That's what Bravo thought. Like, this is going to be funny. But going into that premise, I was like, this is going to grate on my nerves if Carson's playing the role of like guy who can't decorate on a decorating show. Like, look at me getting everything wrong. Whoops. Then I watched it, guys. Insert foot into mouth, because it is an amazing show. I am fully in love with Carson Kressley now. He is intense, but in all the right ways, very much like Jonathan Van Ness on the reboot. And he's a perfect marriage with Tom, who's very straight. You know, Tom Felicia, well, he's not straight. he's very like buttoned up, and he's good at his job, and he's not over the top, and he's not jumping up and down and squealing, and he's not like doing a funny thing in the background.
Yeah.
That's Carson. And I love it. Like, there are all these funny montages with him like wheeling a stool behind the camera, and I'm like guffawing on the couch. And then possibly the best scene I've ever seen on TV in my life, which is saying a lot because I watch all the Housewives. But there's this scene in the first episode where I'm like, oh my gosh, Carson is about to give my hemming curtains tip on Bravo. Like, he had hem tape and an iron and an ironing board, which if you all have read our blog, I've been doing this for years. And he goes like, and you put the hem tape right here and you rub it with a hot iron and it doesn't work at all.
Because your iron's not plugged in.
Because his iron wasn't plugged in. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was the best 20 seconds of TV, because he realized he was like doing it completely wrong and laughing, and it didn't feel set up, even though in the retelling of that, maybe it was.
I was going to say, the retelling of this didn't really capture the humor.
No, but if you see that part, I was just crying laughing, because it was like he was doing a straight tutorial and thought he was doing such a fine job, and the curtain just would not stay hemmed. It was popping up and popping up, and he's like, it's not working. And it was so funny to see, oh, the iron wasn't plugged in.
Well, I think it makes a good show, because I think decorating shows have a tendency to get very formulaic and also a little bit boring, because the design part can be interesting, but like so often the hosts are tasked with delivering so much information, like they're working so hard about teaching that a lot of the fun and humor is lost. Like, that's one reason I think people fell in love with Chip and Joanna, is because they were sort of real and lighthearted and had some very natural humor in front of the camera, whereas a lot of the other shows, it felt very like written and performed.
Right,
and
like a script.
You're reading lines rather than having these natural moments. And so this show really pairs good design and good humor together in a way that works really well. And again, it's called Get a Room. I think Get a Room with Tom and Carson or something like that.
And it's on Bravo, the only network you should ever be watching. Throw your TV out the window if you don't get Bravo.
Well, and I'm going to dig something this week that is much nerdier. It's a book that I got actually a couple years ago for my birthday, but they have a new sort of companion book out now that has sort of reawoken my interest in it. And for anyone who's followed us for a while knows that I am an infographic nerd. It is right up that alley.
It's super infographic, laden, factual, graphy.
Yes, all of those good words. It's a book called Dear Data, or Dear Data, if you prefer.
I think I say data.
Well, it's Dear Data to me. It's written by two friends. One lives in London and one lives in Brooklyn. And they did this project over the course of the year. The subtitle for the book is A Friendship in 52 Weeks of Postcards. So each week they sent each other a postcard in which they sort of graphed some aspect of their life. I know this sounds terribly boring.
No, I'm into it.
When you look at it, it's really cool. They're both kind of artists, so they found these really interesting ways to visualize ordinary things in their life. So like, for instance, the first week, they each kept track, like in a notebook or on their phones, not on the postcard itself, how many times they checked the time, like whenever they looked at a clock.
Right.
And then they made these cool infographics illustrating when they checked, where they checked, like was it on their phone, was it on their computer, why they checked, like was it by accident, how they felt when they checked, like, oh crap, I'm late, or no, like I've got plenty of time. And I know that sounds really boring, like why do you care about a stranger checking the time? But the way they illustrated them, and each week they do it a little bit differently. They illustrate the data differently and they collect different data. Like they did that one about the clocks. They did another one where they tracked how often they said thank you or someone said thank you to them. So it is a nice little like kind of coffee table book. It's not hardcover, but it is a good size and has all these interesting things to flip through and look at the pretty visuals of it. And also if you want to dig into the details of what they tracked and how they tracked it. And I said they had a new book out more recently. Just a couple months ago, they released sort of a journaling book. So if you wanted to do something yourself, if you're into sort of self-tracking, they give some tips and like a guide and a workbook where you can do some of the stuff that they did yourself.
You know why that's perfect for them to release it now is that everybody's doing those, what's that?
Bullet journaling? Journals.
Yes, it's yes. Like that. And they keep track of how many movies they see or how many Starbucks they get. And they keep tallies. And that's what these guys did way before everyone else.
Yes.
And they do it so beautifully and share it so beautifully. So I'm actually glad you're digging this because everyone who's listening who has someone on their Christmas list who likes these sort of like nerdy, graphic designy, mathy, Venn diagrammy things like this. I just think it would be such a good gift. They can pore over this book for hours.
Here's one about where they tracked their swearing, who they sweared at, why they sweared, what swear word they used.
I think that's so interesting. And if you tracked me and John, I'd have like 100 dots for every one dot that John gave.
Really?
I mean, when John gets hurt, there's always a muttering. It's under the breath.
This is a conversation we should not have in the episode with Ellie.
Oh, that's true. Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
And like we said at the start of the episode, next week is when we'll have all the behind-the-scenes stories of getting the outside of our brick house painted white.
And I can tell you, it's going to be a very exciting week.
Don't stress me out anymore, Sherry, okay? But my point was going to be, make sure that you're subscribed to our show so that you automatically get new episodes as soon as they're released. You can subscribe right within your favorite podcast app, and it's totally free to do.
And we always love to hear what you guys do while you listen, like Angie, who says she listens while she works on her computer designing wine cellars. Is that not the coolest job? Wine cellars.
And don't forget to check out this week's show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast to see some sneak peeks of the house painted all white and that photo of Sherry and Ellie together.
And Ellie's mom did send us the photo of her pumpkins, and it is adorable. Of course it is.
Later.
Bye. I think I say data.
Well, it's dear data to me. And it's written by these two friends named...
You say data, I say data, let's call the whole thing off. I haven't sung on the podcast in a while, guys.
Well, that's okay. There's always editing.